Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top line of Daf Mem Tes Omed Aleph, we begin at the end of the line, Toni Rabo Babarchano Kame Derav. Kivsei Atzeres, the sheep offering, two sheep that are offered on Atzeres, the holiday of Shavuos, Sheshochton Lishum Elim. He slaughtered them with rams in mind. The basic korban, the basic sacrifice in the case of Kivsei Atzeres, are two sheep. And in fact, he had two sheep. But when he slaughtered them with a different type of animal in mind. Ksherin. The sacrifice is considered kosher, however, v'lo olu l'baylin l'shum chova. The owner, and in this case the owner is the tzibor, the public, do not fulfill their requirement with this offering. Omar le Rav. Rav says to Rabo Barbachana, who taught over this Tanaic source, the source that appeared in the frame in our Gemara markings system, we frame off Tanaic material to set it apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. So Rav said, regarding the case of Kivsei Atzeres that were slaughtered with something else in mind, olu v'olu, that Tzibur does fulfill their requirement. Omar Rav Chista, Mistabro Milsei de Rav, it is most likely that what Rav said applies that olu, that they fulfill their requirements under the following circumstances. Bekosavur elim v'shochton l'shum kvosim. Where he thought that these animals were rams. However, he slaughtered them with sheep in mind. Sheharei kvosim l'shum kvosim nishchatu. Because what in effect happened is that you had that which was actually sheep, were shechted, were slaughtered as sheep. Aval, but in a contrasting case, kosavur elim v'shochton l'shum elim loy. If he took these sheep and he thought they were rams, and he slaughtered them with rams in mind, then loy. Then Rav would not have said that the tzibur fulfills the requirement. Why not? Akira betois havio akira. The uprooting of the identity of the animals, even if it's done, let us say, with a mistake in mind, and you'll notice in this case he thought they were rams, and he slaughtered them with rams in mind. So he was okir, he uprooted the sheep identity, albeit by mistake, but nevertheless, havya akira, it's considered an effective uprooting, so that under such circumstances, we say that this was not a sheep offering. The identity of the sheep were uprooted. The Rabbo Omar, Rabbo disagrees with Rav Chista, and he says, Akira betois, loi havio akira. This uprooting under mistaken circumstances, or a mistaken thought, is not considered an uprooting. And therefore, if he had actual sheep, and he thought they were rams, and shechted with rams in mind, even under such circumstances, the tzibur would fulfill their obligation. Before going on in the Gemara, let us go over now some of the additional features that we have provided in our Shas Ozer, the pre-marked Gemaras that appear on your screen. You'll notice on the outside margin the Nosei. The Nosei is the topic heading that we apply to each new sugya as it comes along. Under our topic heading, we've written Hakrovas Korban, the offering of a sacrifice, B'machshava Shehu Korban Acher, with the thought that it's something else, that it's a different sacrifice. E Amrinon Shaloi Allah, if we say that it does not fulfill the sacrificial requirement, Hainu Mishum Dakira Betois Havi Akira, that will be the result of an uprooting of the identity of the korban, although by mistake, but its uprooting is binding, takes hold. E Amrinon, if we say Sha'ola Loi, that this korban offered with a mistaken mindset does fulfill the owner's requirement, Hainu Mishum Di'ein Akiroso Akira, that's a function of our concluding that the uprooting is not a true uprooting of identity. Vinishar Ma Shuhu Hoya, and the korban remains what it originally was. Dakira Betois Lo Havi Akira, this uprooting by mistaken thought or circumstances, by mistaken thoughts, is not considered an uprooting, so that the original identity remains. Even though we've read a few lines of Gemara already without paying attention to the markings, now it's the time to go over some of the markings that we've had already in anticipation of the continuation of the sugya. So we have a Mivneh heading. The Mivneh is an attempt on our part to explain the role of each marking as it appears. So under the Mivneh, you'll notice we have a double underline. This double underline features the expression that we've read already, Akira Betos, Havi or Lo Havi Akira. We also will be employing a volcano shape. This is a ma'akav. As the Gemara unfolds, there will be a sugya that we need to keep track of. These are kushios, mimakuros. These will be questions from sources, shemarim, that show, da'akira betos havi akira, that this uprooting under mistaken circumstances is considered an uprooting. So that will in effect be a challenge to Rabba's position. With the volcano shape inverting, narrow part facing down, tshuvos, responses, in which we will say, Makoros Elu Lo Medubor Ba'akira, that these sources are not talking about an uprooting. We have already seen the use of this marking, this double underline with dots in it. That represents Hadgoshas Nitunim Shokol Dugma. We are attempting to highlight the circumstances, the Nitunim, the givens of each example. We will be underlining with this marking the terms Kosavur, meaning where the person thought, O, Yoda, or he knew, and the expression Lishum, meaning what he acted upon, or how he acted, what he thought while he was acting. We've also provided a chart on the inside margin that accompanies this Gemara. Part of this chart we've already learned in the Gemara, so we can use it as review. The balance of the chart will be useful for the continuation of the Gemara. So as we look at the chart on the inside margin, we've entitled it Dugmois Shel Akira Betos. This chart will feature some of the examples of the Gemara, namely those examples that involve an uprooting of name or identity of Korban. Chutz mi Rav Chisda Aleph, the first example on the chart will not be an example of an uprooting. And we will see why. So as we look at the chart, bearing in mind that we've learned part of this in the Gemara, going across the top of the chart, there is the first column is called Bimitzius, meaning what the animal actually was, or what the korban, in some cases here in this chart, we'll be dealing with meal offerings, but we will be identifying first what the korban, what the offering really is. Then, as you move across to your left, you see kosavur. This is what the person thought it was. And l'shum ma asahu. The third column is l'shum ma asahu. When processing the korban, what did he have in mind? So you have two things here that we want to emphasize. There's kosavur, what he thought it was. And when processing it, what did he have in mind? And the final column is totsa'ah, the result. So, Rav Chisda Aleph, the first case Rav Chisda presents, was in fact the case of non-akira. It was Kivsei Atzeres, the sheep of Shavuos, and we saw in the Gemara, Kosovor, he thought they were Elim, and then, thinking that they were Elim, he went ahead and slaughtered them with sheep in mind. So that if you notice, the animal or the korban here in actuality are kvosim. That was the first column, the mitzius. And when he was processing it, he processed it with that in mind, namely with that which it actually was. Hence, there's no uprooting. Olu, the final column says, olu. Ein kanakira, the tzibur fulfills their requirement because the korban was processed as that which it actually is. However, the next example, Rav Chisda Beis, again, we start with something that in actuality is kivsei atzeres, their sheep, the shavuos sheep. He thinks that they are elim, that they are rams. And when he processes them with rams in mind. So his processing of it, the l'shum ma'asahu, is counter or different than that which the animal actually is. That's an uprooting. It's an uprooting under mistaken circumstances, namely he thought they were rams, and he went ahead and slaughtered them as rams. So Rav Chisda says, loy olu. The tzibur does not fulfill the requirement because akira betois havi akira. The uprooting takes hold, is binding. On the other hand, Rabbah, under the same circumstances as Rav Chisda Beis, hence you can see we have an arrow going across all three columns. This is simply a Rabbah's approach to that very same case. He says his psak, his result is olu, that the tzibur does fulfill their requirements because akira betois loi havi akira. This uprooting, namely when he processed it as rams, he processed it as rams because he thought they were rams. That's a mistake because in actuality they were sheep. So according to Rabbah, that does not constitute an uprooting. That's lo havi akira. After that, using the chart as an introduction to the upcoming Gemara, the next line of the chart indicates on the right-hand side of this line, it says, Moisvinan ashmaitin kushya arabo. The Rabbah himself raises an objection to what he ruled based on the following case. The following case involves a korban chatos, a sin offering. That's the actuality, a sin offering. Now, we have to note by way of preface, a sin offering has a time limit of 1 day and 1 night, the following night, in which to eat it. In other words, it's slaughtered by day in the daytime hours. the Kohanim eat from it during that daytime and the following night. If a korban is slaughtered with an extended eating time period in mind, that creates something called pigul. Pigul is a serious offense. If one were to eat from such a korban, he would in fact be chayav kores. So in this example, we have a korban chatos, a sin offering. The kohen thinks that it's a shlomim, and he then shechts it as if it were a shlomim. The result, in other words, we'll see in the Gemara, the result is it becoming pigul. In other words, this mistaken thought and subsequent processing takes hold. It becomes pigul. Pigul, because a shlomim time eating, time frame is longer, is a two-day time frame. Therefore, in effect, what was happening is a korban chatas was being processed, having in mind to eat the meat beyond its allocated time. And we see that it does become pigul. This shows us that Alma, we've written on the chart, Akira betois havi Akira. This uprooting does take effect. So this would serve as a kasha on Rabbah's ruling, in which we saw Rabbah saying that it's lo havi Akira. The Gemara itself will deflect this question. And that, of course, we'll wait to see how it does that in the Gemara. However, after that, the Gemara raises another question. Rabbi Zeira raises a question on Rabbah involving a meal offering. There's a meal offering that's brought that's called a machvas. That's a type of meal offering prepared on a flat pan. He is going to take the handful, the kometz, of this machvas. While thinking that it's a marcheshes, he takes the handful, thinking it's a marcheshes. A marcheshes is a different type of korban, a different type of meal offering. It's a meal offering brought in a deep pan, because the consistency of the dough in that type of meal offering is a looser consistency than in the case of a machvas. So he thinks that this machvas is a marcheshes, and he takes it as a marcheshes. We are medayik from that case that in general, that even though over there we say it remains a machvas, and that's because of a concept called maaseh mochichin, it's obvious that what he's saying is a lie. However, in general, if it wasn't obvious, the akira would have taken hold. That's another example of Akira betois havi Akira. So that too, that case will be raised, the inference from the case of the machvas marcheshes that we just described, will serve as a question on Rabbah's approach. Before going back to the continuation of the Gemara, let us just draw our attention to that which we've mentioned before. There was a use of a double underline with dots in it. This marking was designed to highlight two of the columns on the chart, the Kosavur and the Lashum, what he was thinking, what he thought it was, and how he processed it. So you can see in the Gemara itself, on the fifth line from the top, we had Rav Chisda's first case, where you had the Kifsi Atzeres, he Kosovur Elim, and he did it Lashum Kvasim. The next case was Kosovur Elim. You can see there the double underline under Kosovur, double underline with the dots in it, and Lashum Elim. That was the case of Akira Betois. And by Rabbah as well, we had that. We had Rabbah's response with his claiming that Akira Betois was Lo Havi Akira. At this point, we continue in the Gemara text. At the beginning of the line, we see the volcano, Omar Rabbah. The reading of this as Rabbah, as opposed to Rava, is based on that which is mentioned on the inside margin above, where the Marshak says that the whole sugya really should have Rabo spelled with a hey instead of what's printed in the Gemara, Rava, with an aleph. So Rabo says, after issuing his ruling, he says, I'm going to now challenge my own ruling. U'moisivinan ashmaitin. And we ask on our teaching the following source. Hakoyanim shepiglu b'mikdosh. Before we actually read any further, let's just note that we have a long question marking accompanying this piece of Gemara. There's a kuf that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a little volcano around it and a vertical dashed line that descends from this point. This shows that all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the question. So Rabo, after having said Akira Butois Lo Havi Akira, he raises an objection from the following source: Hakoinim Shepiglu B'Mikdash Mezidin Chayovin. Kohenim that committed pigol, which we explained before was the processing of a korban with the wrong time mindset, namely thinking to eat the korban beyond its allocated time. And they did this intentionally. Chayovin, they are obligated to offer restitution to the owners. In other words, they will have to pay the owners the value of the korban that they ruined. We infer, ha shayigin turin. However, if they were mefagel, if they processed it with the wrong mindset, unintentionally, they don't have to make financial restitution. Vitoni Allah, and it's taught concerning this case, pigulon pigul. The pigul, however, takes hold, so that even though they were shaygigin, the pigul takes hold. Hechi domi. E lema, in the next few lines, you'll see we've squiggle underline key words, e lema, and the next line, elo, and a few lines later, li oilam. These are stages in the analysis of this case. So, what are the circumstances? E lema, if you are to say, the yoda de chatos he, that he knew that it was a korban chatos, which has a 1 day time period for eating. V'komechashev bo lishum shlomim, and when processing it, he processes it as if it were a shlomim that has a 2 day time period for eating. Hi, shoygigin, would you describe that as a case of unintentional? Mezidin havu, they are aware. That's witnessed by the case, by the fact that it was a case of yoda. In other words, the kohen knew what it was in actuality. That wouldn't be described as a shoygigin. So that's not the circumstance of the case of shoygigin. And we said pigul on pigul elo. So what is the circumstance? Elo lav de kosovur shlomim hu. We have what was in actuality a chatos. The kohen thought it was a shlomim. The komechashev bo l'shum shlomim, and he processes it with a shlomim in mind. The katani pigulon pigol, and it says that the pigol takes hold. So he, in effect, uprooted when processing it at it, meaning the chatos as a shlomim. He was uprooting the chatos identity by mistake. But he did so anyway, and the pigul takes hold. Alma, we see from here, Akira betois, havya Akira, that the uprooting done under mistaken circumstances does take hold. That is against Rabbah's ruling just before this long question. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds and says, Li'oilam, this is already the third stage of analysis of this case, and that's, you could see again, squiggle underlined, Li'oilam di yoda de chatos hi v'kol mechashev bo l'shum shlomim. This is a case where he knew it was a chatos. In other words, this is not what we thought. This isn't the case of simple shogeg. He knew it was a chatos, and he processed it as if it were a shlomim. So we've written between the lines, Ein zu akira betos. This is not an akira betos. This is an akira knowingly. So then what's shogeg about it? What's unintentional about this? Uvi oimer muter. We're talking about a kohen who thinks that it's muter to change the identity of sacrifices. That's where he's mistaken. That's his shogeg. However, as far as Abaye is concerned, this is not a description of a case of akira betos. There was an unknowing akira that took place. Just to review the markings, notice how we've used this double underline with dots in it to highlight the details of the case. In this case, we marked off the word diyoda and lishum, just like we've been doing in the past with the words kosovor and lishum. Mosiv Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera raises an objection. As you can see, the volcano form has the narrow part facing up. This will once again be an objection to the original Rabbah teaching. The length of this is indicated by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Mosiv Rabbi Zera. We have a long Tanaic source that follows. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol menachos shenikmetsu shelo lishmon, ksheros v'olo lebailim lishum choiva. All meal offerings whose handful is taken with a wrong intention, shelo lishmon, with a different identity in mind, different from that which it actually is, the mincha, the meal offering, nevertheless, is kosher, v'olu lebailim lishum chova, and the owner fulfills his requirement. And this approach of saying that the owner fulfills his requirement is quite different than the approach one would take in the case of animal sacrifices. And it's pointed out, she'ein ha-menachos doimos lezvachim. Meal offerings are not similar to animal offerings. She'ha-kemetz machvas l'shum marcheshes, one who takes a handful of something that actually is a flat pan meal offering, and he does it as a deep pan meal offering in mind. Well, ma'aseh ha-mochichin, the way it is made, the machvas and the physical nature of it shows, ma'aseh mochichin, the way it's produced proves, mochichon alel, she machvas, it shows us that it's a machvas. It's like, who cares what he says it is? He can declare all day that it's a marcheshes, but it's quite obvious that it's a machvas. Therefore, his declaration or his mindset is of no real importance. Another example, chareva l'shum blula. There is a dry type meal offering. This is characteristic of a sin meal offering, a minchas chatos or minchas chote. It doesn't have oil. It's chareva, it's dry. And he takes the handful, the kohen takes the handful of it in anticipation of offering the handful on the mizbeach, and he does it as if it were blula. He declares that it's an oil mixed meal offering. So we say maaseh mochichin, the way it is made shows mochichin oleha shehi chareva. The actuality of it demonstrates counter to what he declares. Avol mizvachim eino kein. When it comes to processing animal offerings, the same cannot be said. And why is that? Shechita achas lekulan. The way that it is slaughtered, the slaughtering is the same slaughtering that is done to a chatos animal, to a shlomim animal, to an oshim animal, to an ola animal. That's one shechita. It's the same shechita. Kabbalah achas lekulan. The receipt of the blood is the same. And zrika achas lekulan. And they all have blood applications. So that when an animal offering is being processed and the kohen makes a declaration as to what he's doing, we have nothing to go on other than what he says. We don't have, like in the case of a meal offering, something to counter what he declares. So if he declares whatever it is, we're going to have to go with that. and in the event that what he's saying is a lie, so he will thereby be, he will ruin the korban. And when it comes to zvachim, therefore we say that the bailim will not be yotze. Heshi domi. What are the circumstances of the meal offering that we just described? And here the Gemara is going to focus on the first of the two examples, the Machvas Marcheshes case. And again, we have the stages of analysis noted with a squiggle underline. If you just scan ahead in the Gemara, there's, you could see Elamo, which you see immediately, if you say this thusly. So that won't work out. Then the second stage, you'll see Elo a couple lines later, is also squiggle underline. Rather, it must be thus and thus. And at that point, the question will come to a head. After that, when Abaye comes in with the inverted, at the point that you see the inverted, the next inverted volcano, there we've scrolled on the Olam where Abaye will deflect the question. So in the meantime, Heshi Domi, we go back to the Gemara. What are the circumstances with regard to the meal offering? I lemo di yoda de machvas hi v'kokomitz lo l'shum marcheshes. If he knew that it was a machvas, in other words, we have, in actuality, it's a machvas, and if he knew it was a machvas, and he takes the handful, l'shum marcheshes, and he takes the handful declaring that it's a marcheshes, well, even though the method of preparation shows that it's something other than what he declares, nevertheless, he is consciously uprooting the identity. So why would you say under such circumstances that it's a good mincha? Elo lav, rather, it must be the kosovur marcheshes he. He thought it was a marcheshes. In other words, what he declares it to be is really what he thought it was. Of course, a mistake. He thought it was a marcheshes, v'kokomitz lo l'shum marcheshes, and he takes the handful with that mistaken thought in mind, v'tah, and as we said, that's a mistake. And it was pointed out in the source that the mincha is kosher. Now, why is the mincha kosher? Because only here, in the case of a meal offering, do we have the luxury of falling back on the way, on the method, on the way it's made. And that shows us what it really is. However, if we were dealing with another kind of sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, akira betois havio akira, there we would not say he is yotze whatever it is. There we would say the uprooting of the identity of the korban, albeit by mistake, constitutes a real uprooting. So that what we're saying at this point is only in the case of the meal offering would the mistaken uprooting have no bearing. However, in animal offerings, the mistaken uprooting would have bearing, would take hold, would be the determining factor. That's called akira betos havi akira. Once again, a challenge to Rabbah's presentation on the upper part of the page. Omar le Abaye. Abaye responds. He responds to Rabbi Zera's objection. He says, "Li oylom di yoda de machvas hi." The case is a machvas was brought, an actual in Metzias, it was a machvas. He knew it was a machvas, and as a result of that, there's no akira betos over here. There's no tois. He knew it was a machvas. V'ka komitz lo l'shum marcheshes, and he takes it, announcing that he is doing a marcheshes. Udeko amres, and you'll ask, well, how in the world could such a thing be kosher? Ki maaseh mochichon ala mayhave, and we asked before. So what? Its method of preparation proves otherwise. Why should it be kosher as a machvas? So to this we will answer, Rabo letamei. Rabo here, in declaring that it's kosher, is consistent with that which he said at the beginning of the Masechta, the Omar Rabo, machshav adlo minkura posa rachmana, a declaration or a mindset that's not obvious that he is lying, that's a problem. That's true in the case of animal sacrifices. However, machshava de minkara lo pasar rachmana, a declaration as to what he is doing, which is obviously a lie, where he declares it to be one thing and it's obviously something else, and we can see that by virtue of the fact of maaseh mochichin, that kind of thing the Torah does not declare unfit or does not void. And therefore, in the case of a machvas, that he knew it was a machvas, and nevertheless he declared it was something else, his declaration is null and void. However, to review the main point as far as this flow is concerned, the flow of this sugya, the case of the mincha did not represent the case of akira betois. Hence, no objection on Rabbah's original ruling. So we're left at the end of this sukkah with basically a machlokas, Rav Chisda and Rabbah. Rav Chisda claiming akira betois havi akira, Rabbah saying akira betois lo havi akira. The makaros that were brought in the sukkah seemingly indicating that akira betois would be an akira, those makaros were deflected. They were not cases of akira betois. It was a known akira, a knowing akira. Hence, they don't represent a challenge to Rabbah's ruling. The Mishnah. Hatmidim ein ma'akfin es ha-musofin, v'lo ha-musofin ma'akfin es ha-tmidim. The details of this Mishnah will be described in the Gemara, but for the time being, all we can say is that the daily tumid offering is not binding upon the musaf offering, and likewise the opposite. The musafim are not ma'akev the tmidim, v'lo ha-musafim ma'akvim ze'ezeh. And in the case of a musaf offering, musaf is a sacrifice that's characterized by multiple animals brought on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and the holidays, the individual musafin are not ma'akev one another. Lo hikrivu keves baboker, yakrivu bein harbayim. If they didn't offer the daily tomid shel shachar, that doesn't prevent them from offering the afternoon daily sacrifice. Omar Rabbi Shimon Emosai. When do we allow this? Bizman shoyu anusim oshogigin, when there were circumstances beyond their control, or they didn't offer the morning tumid as a result of some type of unintentional situation. Aval im hoyu mezidim lo hikrivu keves baboker, if they knowingly did not offer the morning keves, lo yakrivu bein harbayim, then they are not entitled to offer the afternoon daily sacrifice. Lo hiktiru k'turis baboker, yaktiru bein harbayim. This line will need to be explained in the Gemara, but for the time being, it means if they didn't offer the morning incense offering, then they offer it in the afternoon. Omar Rabbi Shimon, v'kula hoisakreva bein harbayim. The entire amount was offered, the entire mona of k'toras was offered in the afternoon. She'ein mechanchin es hamizbech azov, elo b'k'toras esamash ben rabayim. When a new golden altar was put into service, its dedication was accomplished only through the afternoon k'toras offering. Likewise, with regard to the dedication of other temple vessels, other Beis HaMikdash Kelim, v'lo Mizbech Ha'Ola, the Mizbech Ha'Ola is the large Mizbech altar that sat in the temple courtyard in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. So if it needed to be dedicated, its dedication is done with nothing other than Elo B'Tomit Shel Shachar, the morning daily sacrifice. V'lo Es HaShulchan Elo B'Lechem Upon HaBeShabbos, and the shulchan which held the 12 breads, which sometimes are called the shoe breads, the shulchan is dedicated only with the breads that are placed on the table on Shabbos. V'lo es ha-menorah elo b'shiva ne'rusel bein arbayim. And likewise, the menorah, when it needed to be dedicated, it was dedicated through the kindling of the candles in the late afternoon. Bomine Reb Chiya Bar Ovin Meirav Chista. Tzibor She'ein Lohem Tamidim Musafin. Eize Mehen Koydeim. A community, the congregation, in other words, the public, that does not have Tamidim and Musafin. So, which takes precedence? Which one are we to choose? Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin. We have our nosei, our topic heading. Tzibor shetzorch livchor, o talmid shel mochar, o musaf shel hayom. A public that has to make a choice whether to offer tomorrow's daily sacrifice or today's korban musaf. Which one are we to choose? So the Gemara asks, before having seen this description, Heichi Dami, what are the circumstances of Rav Chiya Bar Ovin's question? He's asking about a public that does not have Tamidim and Musafim. Rather, they have just one. They have limited abilities. So, Heichi Dami, what are the circumstances? Here, in order to note the development of the Gemara, we have underlined Elema as one. This is the first attempt to understand what the circumstances are, and then we'll reject this. Two lines from here, at the beginning of the line, you'll see Ela is underlined, and we call that number two, which at which point we'll present what his real question is. So, Elema, if you think that he's asking about the following case, Tamidim diyomei, umusafin diyomei. Let's take, for example, Shabbos. You have the daily sacrifice, the Korban Tumid, which is characteristic of every day of the week, not just Shabbos. But we have the Shabbos daily sacrifice and the Musafin of Shabbos. And you have to make a choice to offer, you have just enough animals for one or the other. So, Pshita Tamidim Adifi, it's obvious that we give precedence to the Tumid, the Hava Luhu, Tadir u Mekudosh. The Tamid has a double feature to it. It is Tadir, it comes with greater regularity, and it's Mekudosh, it also benefits from the sanctity of the fact that today is a holiday, is Shabbos. So that would not be a question. Ella, so what would be a question? Tamidim de lemacheru musafim de ha'idna. This is their choice. They have a choice to use the animals either for tomorrow's daily sacrifice or for today's musaf offering. Two sides of the question. And we've illustrated this with our markings, Aleph, and at the end of the line you'll notice Oy Dilma is squiggle on line, which or do or possibly Beis, the second side of the question. So the first side of our choices is Tamidim Adifi, Shekein Todir. The daily sacrifice takes precedence because of its regularity. Oidilmo Musafin Adifi Dehavu Luhu Mikudash, or maybe the Musaf sacrifice, today's Musaf shall take precedence because of the fact that today, as opposed to tomorrow being a weekday, today is a holy day. The question, therefore, has been raised. Tomorrow's Tomit versus today's Musaf. As you can see, we have a new marking that appears. This is a triangle with a colored in tip. Under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you can see we've described this as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. So with the point facing up in this sugya, that represents tshuvos, la she'ilo hanal, attempts to answer the above question, and the triangle flipped over, which we'll see only when we get to Omid Beis, those represent the chios, deflections. So after the question was raised, Omar Lei, Rav Chista, to whom the question was posed, answers, Tenisua, receive your answer from the following Tanaic source, our Mishnah. It says, Hatmidim ein ma'akvin es hamusafin, v'lo hamusafin ma'akvin es hatmidim, v'lo hamusafin ma'akvin zeh es zeh. That's a quote from our Mishnah. We should also note before going any further that this answer is accompanied by a long answer marking. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you can see a tuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line that follows. This continues till the top of Amud Beis, four lines from the top. All of this is an answer to the question. So, after quoting the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, Heishi Dami, what are the circumstances of the Mishnah? And again, to indicate the stages of clarification, we've underlined the word Elema and called it number one. At the top of Amud Beis, Ela, rather, that we've labeled as stage two. And then after that, Abaye, when he deflects this answer, he says, L'Olam, he'll come up with his understanding of the case, of the source. So, Elema, we continue with more. If you say, the is lay velikdam, that the Mishnah is describing a case where both Tamidim and Musafin are present. And the question is order. That would not be a question. In other words, not only that, for that I don't need a Mishnah. And not only that, but the Mishnah would be inaccurate if you were talking about these circumstances. The Mishnah says that these are not ma'akev one another. But if you were talking about a case where he's got both Tamidim and Musafin, and the issue is simply one of ordering, that's different. V'hatanya, we have a source that teaches, from where do I know that there is no sacrifice that is supposed to come before the morning daily sacrifice? Talmud lomar, v'orach oleho ho'oila. The Pasuk says, and he shall place upon it the pile of wood that's on the fireplace of the Mizbech, the Ola. V'yomar rova ho'oila equals Oilo Rishona. The word Ho'ola, spelled with the hey at the beginning, indicates the primary sacrifice, the first sacrifice. That's the daily sacrifice. So that when it comes to an issue of ordering, we wouldn't say Ein Ma'akvin Zezeh, but rather the order is Ma'akev. The first of the two would have to be the Tamid. So that's not the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah that mentions the Tamidim are not Ma'akev as a Musafin and vice versa as well. Ela Pshita. We're now at the top of Mem Tesamud Beis. You can see this is the second stage of analysis. Ela Pshita Deles Lay. It's obvious that he does not have both. Rather, he's got enough for either Tamidim or Musafin. The E Diomei, and if you're thinking, if one were to think that it's talking about that very same day, Amai, so then why would you say one's not Ma'akev the other? Todir Makudosh, Todir Adif. In the case of the daily sacrifice of that day itself, there would be no question. It would be obvious that the Tamid comes, what takes precedence, or preempts the Musaf, because the Tamid has two characteristics. It's Tadir and Mekudosh. It comes with greater frequency, and it also enjoys the added holiness of that day. Elo Lav Dilamohar. Rather, the Mishnah is describing a case where he's got enough for one or the other, namely today's Musaf or tomorrow's Tamid. The Kotoni, and nevertheless the Mishnah teaches Ein Ma'akvin Ze'ezeh, that one is not binding upon the other. Alma, this shows us, Ki Hadodi Ninhu, they're of equal weight, so that if your question is, which one should I choose, the answer to that would be, whichever you want. As you can see, the triangle flips around, and this represents a rejection of that answer, or a deflection. Abaye says, "Li'oilam de'is lehu v'likdam." Here we have a third stage of analysis, but it's a throwback to the first stage. The case is that he has both. he's got to meet him and Musafin of that very day. And the question is a question of which of order, which takes priority. And you'll ask, but we already have a source that says that nothing shall come before the Tamid. To that we say, mitzvah bi'almahu, that's the preferred way of doing things. But our Mishnah is showing you what is the basic law. So that the preferred way of doing things is to have the morning daily sacrifice offered before the Musaf. However, if one offers the Musaf before the Tamid Shel Shachar, according to our Mishnah that says, Ein Ma'akvin Ze Eze, it would still be kosher, even though he violated the halacha of Kedima, of allowing something to come before the Tamid Shel Shachar. So we continue with analysis of our question, namely, he's got just enough for today's Musaf or tomorrow's Tamid. Ta Shema. So we bring another Tanaic source, in which it says, Ein pochasin mishisha tloyim hamuvukorin belishkas hatloyim kedei l'shabes l'shnei yomim tovim shirosh Hashanah. There shall be no less than six sheep that are checked from blemishes, ensuring them to be blemish free. There shall be no less than six sheep in the animal lishka. A lishka is a room, if you will, a room or a pen or an office. An area, an enclosed area that's part of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash had a number of different rooms that were reserved for different things, and there was a storage area for animals. So it's taught here that this Lishka shall have no less than six sheep that are blemish-free, Kedei L'Shabbos U'L'Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. Those would be enough for the needs of Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Hechi Domi, what are the circumstances of this Mishnah? Im lema de is lei tamidin umusafin. If this is describing a situation where they had the daily sacrifices and they had enough for the musafin as well, tuva havu, there would be many more than six animals. If you were to count up the number of animals for the tamidim of Shabbos and 2 days Rosh Hashanah plus all of the musafin, you're going to come out with a much larger number than just six. In fact, Rashi says to account for the Tamidim and Musafim of those 3 days, you'll actually have 22 animals. Elolav, the less lay. Rather, it's describing a situation where he does not have. Ushma mino, and from this source we see Tamidim Adifi, that we're giving precedence to the Tamidim at the expense of the Musafin. The Tamidim, the daily Tamid offering, it essentially is two each day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So that if you have Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that would account for the six animals referred to here. And as you can see, we're interested in ensuring that the Tamidim are offered and more so over the attempt to use any of those animals for a musaf. The Gemara rejects this. It says, "Lo li'olam de'islei." In general, that we should understand this source. In fact, this source is to be understood as that they have enough animals. V'hachi ko'omar, and what this source is teaching is something else. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. The Nosei, the topic here is Shiu Tamid belishkas hakfilim, there shall always be in the storage area of the sheep, shisha kvosim muvukarin dalid yomim. There should be six sheep, always available. Each one of those sheep, each one of these six sheep, has been checked for blemishes over 4 days, so that any given sheep in this lishka has already gone through 4 days of blemish checking. Shiyu b'korban hatamid. These animals are reserved for the daily sacrifice. So now we read this in the Gemara. As far as the lishka is concerned, the lishka has in it enough animals to cover the tamidim and the musafin. And what halacha is being conveyed over here is the following. Ein pochasin, we should read, v'hochi ko'omar, and thusly the Mishnah is teaching, ein pochasin mishisha tloim hamuvukorin belishka satloim dalid yomim kodem shchita. That there shall always be six animals in the lishka that have gone through a 4 day blemish checking before their slaughtering. Umani ben Bagbag hi. This Mishnah is consistent with Ben Bagbag. Ben Bagbag is the name of a Tana, Desanya, who teaches the following source. Ben Bagbag Oimer, Minayin Latomid Shiton Bikur Dalid Yomim Kodim Shchita. From where do we know that the daily offering needs a 4 day blemish checking prior to its slaughtering? Talmud Lomar, Tishmeru Lakriv Li Bemoyado, Ulahalon Hu Oimer Voyalochem Lemishmeres Ad Arbos or Yoim. This second pasuk is a reference to the Korban Pesach that took place in Mitzrayim. And we know in the case of the Pesach Mitzrayim, it was acquired on the 10th of Nisan and was slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan, thereby showing that it had to be checked for blemishes for 4 days prior to its slaughtering. Just like over there by the Pesach, there was a necessity of it being checked for 4 days before its shchita. Afkan ton bikur arba yomim kodem shchita. So too, with regard to the tamid, you need to have the same requirement. You'll notice in the psukim that were quoted, we've dashed underlined the words tishmeru, which was by the tamid sacrifice, and the word lemishmeres by the Pesach sacrifice, thereby enabling us to compare one to the other. So as far as the original question of the sugya, namely, he has just enough animals for either tomorrow's tamid or today's musaf, this question is not answered by way of the sources that were brought in the sugya, because each time there was an attempt to answer the question, the answer was deflected. The last point that was made by the Gemara was that the source that we thought was going to answer our question is really telling us a different halacha. And that halacha was that there shall always be six animals in the Lishka Satlaim that are going to be available for the Tomid offering. Each one of those six animals has gone through a four-day blemish checking. The example that we saw involved Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Hani Shisha? Six that were mentioned really should have been seven. Shiva Havu. There really would be a need to have seven. Ta'ika Safra to Tlosa b'Shabbata. There's also to be taken into consideration the morning Tumid of Tuesday. We spoke about the need to have on hand six animals that would serve as the Tomid sacrifices for Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that follow, namely Sunday and Monday, Rosh Hashanah. So, and there's of course an assumption here, or a given, that they're not going to spend time seeking out animals on Shabbos day and Rosh Hashanah day proper. Therefore, there had to be a supply of animals leading into Shabbos and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. However, the Tuesday morning, Tomid Shel Shachar, when are they going to get that? When are they going to find an animal that experienced 4 days of checking? After all, the Tuesday morning Tomid Shel Shachar is coming on the heels of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. They weren't going to spend any time during Rosh Hashanah to find an animal, therefore it had to be ready beforehand as well. So, as far as the afternoon Tomid Shel Barabayim of Tuesday afternoon, in our case, that by Tuesday morning they'll spend time trying to find such an animal that has been checked from, that has been checked to be blemish free for 4 days. However, we must, should we not make an accounting for the morning, the Tuesday morning Tomid animal, and therefore there should be 7 animals in the Beis Hamikdash Tomid pen. So in response to this question, to Ravina's question, Rav Ashi says back, Uletameich, according to you, who's questioning this source with regard to numbers, so Tamni Havu, then you should really talk about 8 animals. Do'iko de'panyo de'mali Shabbato. Should there not be an animal for the Erev Shabbos? Panya, Mali Shabbat is Erev Shabbos. Panya means the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim of Erev Shabbos. The Friday afternoon Tomid animals should also be in that pen. We're talking, if as you think, we're talking about the number of animals leading up to Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, well, so you're on Friday. How many animals should be in the pen? So Rav Ashi is saying back to Ravina, if you're bothered by the fact that there should be 7 animals because you want to take into consideration the Tuesday morning daily offering, why don't you take into consideration the Friday afternoon daily offering as well? And if that be the case, you should, we should talk about 8 animals in the pen. So to this, Ravina says back, Ha lo kashya. As far as an accounting for the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim of Erev Shabbos, that's not a question. The Lebosser de Akriv Ko'omar. This source was talking about a case, how many animals are there after you offer the Friday afternoon daily sacrifice? Mikol Mokom Shiva Havu. Rather, there should be an accounting for 7 animals. Elo, Tano be'almokoi. Rather, the Tano that spoke about the 6 animals in the sheep pen of the Beis Hamikdash is talking about be'almo, meaning any given day of the year. Umai kidei l'shabbos shnei metovim shosh hashana. So what is meant by the citation of Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Simona ba'almo. It's just a way to remember the number 6. It's not talking about the literal example, the case of Shabbos and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It could be talking about the middle of the week. In fact, it's talking about the middle of the week, that at any given day of the week, there shall be 6 animals available for the next days to meet him. Each one of those animals having undergone a 4-day blemish checking. The fact that it mentioned Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is just a way to remember 6 animals. Daiko Nami, upon careful reading of the Mishnah, you can see that it's not talking about the actual case of Shabbos and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but rather it's just using that as a siman, as a way to remind yourself or to remember the idea or the number six. Dikotoni, it says, Kedei l'Shabbos. V'lo katoni l'Shabbos, l'shnei amutavim Rosh Hashanah. It says, enough Kedei l'Shabbos, enough for a Shabbos, but it's not saying in the source specifically for Shabbos, but enough for a circumstance of. So the use of the word Kedei indicates that it's not talking about the actual case of Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but rather is simply citing that as a means of remembering the number six. Shema Mino, this is conclusive. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.